Wrapping up the 4 o'clock hour on a Tuesday means it is time for our rehab report brought to you by Athletes Training Center. Check them out in two locations out in West Omaha, 138th and Industrial Road, and in Papillion, Highway 370 and 84th Street, as we welcome in Travis Manners. Travis, everybody in the Nebraska football camp wants to know the likelihood of seeing Tommy Armstrong Saturday night against Minnesota. We know he's in the concussion protocol, but just with your experience in dealing with concussions and what you saw Saturday night with the hit, unconscious, goes to the hospital, comes back, seemed to be okay as he came back. Mike Riley said he's in good spirits and all that stuff and seems to be feeling good as of yesterday. Where do you start with this and ultimately your opinion on the likelihood of him playing on Saturday?
Well, I would say the likelihood, they're kind of, from a media standpoint, not really releasing a whole lot on what's kind of been going on with them. But just from an observational standpoint, seeing him come back to the field, jogging back out to the field, tells me that this individual did not seriously injure themselves, which is, a good thing. And so then the question is what could have happened to him that caused his loss of consciousness? It doesn't necessarily have to be a concussion. There are times with our bodies where we can have a transient neurologic kind of interruption to where we lose consciousness, and it could have been created from landing on the ground, but not necessarily from the trauma of landing on the ground, if that makes sense. Sometimes people can have a time where they start to maybe pinch their spinal cord, and that creates a loss of consciousness. You'll have people that will have a neurologic reaction to a stimulus that causes a loss of consciousness. Case in point, anybody that passes out because of seeing blood, something like that. So there's, you never know what an athlete's thinking is flying through the air, getting ready to kind of land on the ground hard. There could have been an expectation that this is going to hurt and I might injure myself, and that created enough neurologic angst that created a loss of consciousness. He obviously came to, was back to the stadium in a pretty reasonably short amount of time. And so inevitably, if all of those things happen and it wasn't a concussion that caused the loss of consciousness, there is a good chance we could see him this week.
I'm assuming, Travis, they have said he is in, the protocol at this point and working with the doctors. Anytime you have a loss of consciousness event, even if it's not a concussion, you're going to go through that certain baseline testing and just as a precautionary thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're going to still go through it because we really don't have anything. You don't have a transient, neurologic attack protocol.
Right.
So you have to put them in a concussion protocol because it's the closest thing to assessing someone's neurologic capabilities that we have. And so, yeah, he's definitely in the concussion protocol. Obviously, he was under a physician's care at the medical center that he went to. That physician felt comfortable enough to allow him to go back to the field. And we trust that he made the diagnosis correctly and that he was just not experiencing a concussion. And so that's the expectation when you see that type of return from an athlete. So he'll work through Nebraska's concussion protocol and go through all the cognitive testing and all the things that he needs to do. Unless something starts to come to light, some of these aftermath symptoms that can happen after a head injury, if they start showing themselves, then we might see a change in gear. But if not, I would say there's a decent chance he's playing this weekend.
Talking to Travis Manners in our rehab report. And Travis, everything that you see in these kind of injuries, and I know there's always variable factors, as you've already kind of explained too, but just take us through what the typical, once there is ruled a concussion, say on Saturday, the prognosis that would be an early return to what would maybe cause a, 7 to 14 day or even longer. What are some of the factors that would determine that?
The factors that are going to determine it is a couple. One, each of the athletes are going to take a test in the preseason to determine kind of their baseline of cognitive ability, their baseline of reactivity, their baseline of being able to track things from an ocular standpoint with their eyes, those things are going to be the tests that they're going to go back to determine readiness to return. The easy ones are symptomatic, headaches and symptomatic inability to concentrate, having issues with light and focus with the eyes. Those are ones that it makes it really clean and easy to say you have a concussion, you need rest, you need recovery, your brain needs to heal, and put people in the right situation to allow that to happen. Once they're through that stage, then it becomes, well, now how is the brain performing? How is their reaction in the brain's ability to handle multiple stimulus at the same time? And so that's when you have some of those cognitive tests that are recollection. You have reactivity cognitive tests to where you're trying to basically track with your eyes, move with your hands, and seeing that correlation to see how well you are relative to your baseline. And that's inevitably and those tests can be done fairly frequently to have a consistent almost, if not weekly at the latest, a couple times a week to try to get these kids to have a better understanding of where they sit in the spectrum of the severity of the concussion. Once they pass those things, then it's a matter of putting them back into practice and non-contact, making sure that they can elevate their heart rate, have their blood pump, and have a lot of things going on, and see how well their symptoms do. If their symptoms maintain, then great, you're probably going to be cleared to play. If your symptoms come back at that higher level stuff, then you need more exposure to that at just a subtly lower level to build the tolerance back up to activity. And that's really where a lot of the post-concussion treatment from a rehab standpoint, that's where my field lies in mostly, is helping kids in getting that kind of step-by-step progress to get back to the field. But again, a lot of the concussions are usually pretty much remedied in a short amount of time. It's for the ones that tend to last a little bit longer, and I don't think that's going to be what we see with his.
It is the Rehab Report here on AM 590 ESPN Omaha. Travis Manners is always our guest. Travis, it was a very well televised, I guess, or, you know, we can debate whether or not we wanted or needed to see all of everything that happened on the sideline. But if you're on the field, whether it be college, high school, you know, NFL, and you have a player that loses consciousness, what's kind of the playbook say that the training and medical staff are going to do?
First thing is trying to determine, is their loss of consciousness also, is what are their vital signs looking like? Are they moving air? Are they still breathing? Those types of things. Obviously, in his case, he was face down, where a lot of players tend to be. So to try to quickly assess that is something first and foremost that the people are, the medical staffs are doing. Then the second step is to get them stable. And you can't stabilize them on their stomach, and you have to stabilize them on their back. And so to get them flipped from that prone position to supine position is a dynamic team effort. And so everybody kind of knows where their spot is in that arrangement. And in this case, you're working with two different medical staffs. The Ohio State folks were there. Our guys were there. And so they're working together. Everybody kind of knows from enough training to understand how the head should be moved, how the shoulders should be moved, how the torso and legs should be moved, so that they can efficiently put them on a spine board, clear away the helmet, clear away the shoulder pads, be able to access the chest in case the event that they do need to do something more escalated in terms of stabilizing the patient. But inevitably, they're trying to stabilize the head and neck. Once they can do that, then they can put them in the cart, get them into the ambulance, take them to the hospital, do all the studies that they need to do, which a lot of them focus on the quality of the bone tissue. A lot of the concussion stuff doesn't show up on testing like CTs and MRIs and stuff, but the major stuff obviously does. And so the major things in terms of life-threatening, those are the things. If they have brain bleed, if they have some type of a fracture, all those are going to be picked up. And that's the purpose of the stability and all of the precautionary stuff that we saw Tommy undergo. We can look back now and say, well, maybe it was just kind of a transient loss of consciousness, no big deal. But you don't know that when you're going through. So you worst case scenario it. He clears everything, and in this case, he gets to come back to the field and not have to worry about his quality of life being interrupted by a neck injury.
Travis, I want to go back to something you were just explaining a little bit ago as far as the baseline and then getting the guys out there and getting their heart rate back up. Say they're cleared, they're back on the field, they're practicing, they got the heart rate up, the cardio and all that stuff is going. Do you go back to those baseline tests after they've done a workout, or is it more of the physical symptoms that you're monitoring, or is it both of those?
I would say it's more the physical symptoms that you're monitoring them. Each team is going to have a slightly different variance to their protocols. The ones that I have talked to, typically that baseline cognitive test is the stepping stone on getting back to the field. And so that's usually the kind of sequence of events as they tend to happen. And usually they've already passed it, so if they start having some deterioration in symptoms after they start practicing, you don't necessarily need to go back and retest them, depending on how moderate or severe they respond to it. If they respond severely, then yes, you might end up going back to it. But if it was more in the medium to moderate category, then it's something that you can observe and just start getting them more exposures to the intensity that you want them to exert effort at. And then once they have that and then they can acclimate to it, then you move forward with it and you don't necessarily need to come back to them.
Travis, just, last couple minutes here, we were all kind of surprised, I think, that we got to see Tommy Armstrong run back into the stadium, without really any medical personnel around him. Mm-hmm. It was just, again, not being a doctor, not being a trainer, just a little bit unusual. You don't normally see that
weird
kind of stuff. It did.
No,
did that surprise you? I mean, being
in
the field?
It did. It did surprise me enough that I've talked to some of my colleagues and cohorts in the field, and how is this even possible? And it was them that reminded me about some of these transient neurologic events that can happen. And then, I forgot about that. That does happen. You get kind of caught up in the moment, and I'm like, what in the world? How's he jogging back with nobody standing next to him?
Yeah.
For crying out loud. And so then you start wondering, did somebody, did he just bust out of the joint and, doing his own thing? Is he going against medical advice by coming out because he thinks it makes him look tough? And at the end of the day, we always hear about some of the bad stories that are out there that get highlighted in the media. What we don't hear about is the 99% of the good stories that happen, and I trust the folks in Ohio are great medical people. My ending assumption is that they did all their due diligence. They gave him the permission. That it rested the worry of the medical staff of Nebraska and allowed him to do what we saw on TV in terms of running back out to the field. Thankfully, he changed back into sweatpants and didn't put his pads back on, where that would have raised even more eyes. But definitely a different scenario, a unique one. And I think when it boils down to it, I don't anticipate, unless something fluke happens, I don't anticipate him to miss much time.
Travis, yet again, we'll kind of circle back to this in case people are just joining right now, just kind of what you had a chance to witness from the time and the fall that he had, the procedures and all the protocol that took place between the time that he was taken away to the time that he returned on the sideline. Mm-hmm. If you had to guess, and I don't want to totally put you on the speculation bus here, but if you had to guess, would you think if there indeed is a concussion, he's through that protocol, that it's more on the minor side than it's something that would keep him out for an extended period of time?
Yes, I think what we're dealing with is an injury, and not to put a classification to it, but we're dealing with an injury that should not prohibit him from returning to the field in much, much time. I would say if there's anything that does, it would only because there was a change in status from the initial injury, something secondarily that came up that was not seen initially. And so just based on that, I would say, yes, there's a good chance that he can, we might see him this weekend playing, just because it looks like it was kind of a freak deal.
Great stuff, as always, with Travis Manners, our Rehab Report every Tuesday at this time. Once again, brought to you by Athletes Training Center. Check them out in two locations, West Omaha, 138th and Industrial Road, and also in Papillion and Highway 370 and 84th Street Athletes Training Center, building and rebuilding today's athletes. Travis, great stuff. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Have a great week.
All right, we still have one full hour to go here on a Tuesday edition of Omaha Sports Insider. Longtime NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfeld set to join us in studio next, as we'll talk a little bit about the National Football League here on AM 590.
ESPN Omaha.